Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
And I seem to think to remember that that this is Will Bluewater. This is Prophecy Keepers Radio. This is the 3rd of March, 2017. Our guest this evening is Susan Stark Christensen. The Women's Voices Project initially grew out of a desire to find out more about the indigenous prophecy that states there won't be peace on earth until the voices of women are heard. Well, you got me convinced already. Anyway, since the book Women's Voices, The Wisdom of the Grandmothers was published in 2010, project has grown in scope and contact. They completed a documentary film, The Wisdom of Grandmothers, which is really cool. I saw it on PBS. Anyway, without any further ado, let me introduce Susan Stark Christensen and say hello to everybody.
Susan. Hello, Susan. Something happened. I'm not sure what's going on. Sounds like... Hey, Susan. Oh, my gosh. Well, I can't imagine what happened, Mark. Mark, can you hear me?
I heard some beep. Maybe she got dropped somehow.
Okay. Yeah, let's recall her. I'll be done. Okay, and so the voices of dishes in the background is in your home, right?
No, I don't think. Oh,
I heard somebody lightly scraping a dish. Okay,
oh.
So hang on a second. Let's try and see if we can get her on the line. Apologies, everybody, that we were just talking with her just right before the bumper music. Hello,
97231 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yes, Susan, this is Will Bluewater. Give us a call at 347-996-3318. And while we're waiting for her to get back on the line, maybe, Mark, can you tell us about anything strange, interesting, fascinating, or just plain weird that's gone on this last couple of weeks? I guess we missed you last week.
Well... seem to have a lot of volcanic activity going on.
And, yeah, there is, isn't it?
There's more, a little bit on the one over, it's a super volcano, I can't remember the name of it, over in Italy. You know, all kinds of additional, just all kinds of stuff still coming out of the whole Antarctica thing. You know, what John Kerry went down there, and what a couple of astronauts went there.
Yeah, it just seems that the disasters are getting stranger and stranger. I was just watching this thing on 60 Minutes about we've got our guest back. It dropped again. Wait a second. Hang on a second. Hello, Susan.
Yes, hello, I'm on. Hello.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. And if something does happen again, just call back into the same number. It shouldn't happen again.
I'm
anyway.
Getting a call back. Okay, I'm on, so should I just stay
okay.
here?
Okay, yeah, no, we're on the air. Mark was going to do a reading for you.
Wonderful.
So in the traditional Mayan day count, she was born on a day 8 Lamot, and the 8 signifies a kind of a finalization, completion of energies, in, more focused on the material world. It's usually tends also, this number tends to connect into the top or capstones of pyramids. And then the other part of it, the Lamot, is that's the symbol. Relates also to the planet Venus. So it may have more and above normal interest in that. Also, sometimes this indicates some kind of connection to the star system of Arcturus, possibly, maybe, too. And it has to deal also with seeds, planting things, growing things, stuff like that. It's a yellow glyph, so it'll be going more in the direction of the south, which would be the condor and the eagle and the condor. Now, going over the six suns open, we'll have a forward flow of time, backward flow of time, and then when the two time flows come together in kind of a balance or a unity. So we'll go with the forward flow of time in the way we normally perceive time. And in hers, this is kind of going from her birth forward, maybe even prior to being born. and it's all about things having to do with water, forming things, the movement, and then the synchronicity of thought, especially when these things are directed a little bit more towards healing things. And then it goes with the color red, so it's more in the direction of the east. And then on the backward flow, the part we normally don't see except for maybe our psychic senses, hers, and this may be showing up more recently years in her life, you know, we usually pin it down to around 1997-98 time frame, maybe a little bit before, a little bit after that. But it's all about these things may be showing up more recently then. More about dreaming, intuition of things, opening up new pathways. May have had some sign of something, or may yet to come, of eagle totem energy showing up, and possibly having to do with things of prophetic nature, especially about how things, kind of a liberation of things. And then may look for also another symbol or indicator would be a reed or a cane. Now this particular one in that cycle, let's see, let me make sure I got it right here, also has a balancing, counterbalancing energy. And one word is simple, peace. but it's through peace with a childlikeness, hope, and a connection with Creator. So, and it has also a kind of a completion aspect to it. So it would connect into, in the current my encounter, it would actually connect into the end of it, the 13 of Howl, which ends the 260 days old Vulcan day count. So it kind of connects that. So that's where I'm saying it's kind of a completion of cycles. So an aspect of the peace component would fit in with the dreaming, intuition, opening up new paths, probably even the eagle energy, and then also the completion of cycles. But notice here we have the eagle showing up. And we had before a little bit more the yellow and the condor type energy. So it kind of got the north and the south going here. So where the two time flows come together, it's all about, you know, this is the balancing, or how she makes it from one point, one world cycle to the next, and also brings some other people with her too, helps them to do the same. It's all about influencing things, being able to have a positive influence. Wisdom, not only dispensing his wisdom, but desiring and pulling wisdom towards herself, you know, almost like a sponge soaking stuff up. It's also indicating the same thing we say about pathways, opening up paths. And pretty big component here, both love, and it's connecting back into that Lamont that we talked about earlier with Venus. And it also has a component here of the ancestor showing up. And this particular ancestral energy may look like it may involve things having to do with the white buffaloes and white buffalo calf woman. Okay.
Well, let there be no doubt why you did what you did. What do you think about that, Sue?
That's amazing. That's just so incredibly connected to the things that have happened in my life and who I am. So I thank you for that wonderful gift.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Mark, if you need to go, you know, you go ahead or stay out as long as you like. Well,
yeah, I'll
Susan,
hang in here for a little bit.
Sure, you bet. And Susan, did you have any questions for Mark?
Well, I just want to thank you because so much of what you said is so much a part of the way that my path and my life on this earth has unfolded. My Tlingit name is Chaaksiq, which means Eagle Daughter. And I've been traveling from the north to the south for many years in my work with the wisdom of the grandmothers, interviewing grandmothers from Siberia to Patagonia. And I've also been very much tied to the prophecies around the coming together of the eagle and the condor through my Tlingit father, Jim Walton. So I thank you for reaffirming through your work that the gift of how our lives unfold. I don't have any questions, but I'm very impressed, and I want to thank you.
Well, yours is probably the most visceral reaction we've had to a reading, but not unusual. It's amazing. I was discovered to this by Robert Three Eagles, and Robert been a friend going back to the mid 80s. And he met a gentleman, and Robert lives in Manti, Utah, and he met a gentleman in Cedar City who had moved up from south the border by the name of Carlos Barrios, who had written a book about Mayan astrology. So Robert started explaining all this back to me back in like 2005, and then in 2008, 2007 and 2008, I guess we're really getting Mark had been, long story short, Mark had been emailing me for months, you know, and I, this stuff is going right over my head, and I'm going, whoa, you know, what is all this? So I just invited him on the show one day, and he never left, you know. Anyway, would not be the same program. It just would not. And the guy's got, he's crazy smart, got crazy skills, and geez, he's probably an alien or something. I don't know. but anyway, if you ever see his biopic, it's a picture of somebody, you know, sitting in front of a, it looks like an Astor Mayan calendar, and he's got these Terminator glasses on, you know, and he's bald, and he's kind of skinny, and you know, if you stood back a little bit, you might just say, hey, he looks like Gray, you know. So, anyway, Mark's a trip.
Well, brings so much. I was going to mention to you that also that about 5 or 6 years ago, I was asked to participate in the Bringing North to Alaska, where I live, of a, he mentioned a cane, and I was asked to be one of the bearers to bring a cane that had been put together by or been blessed by the Mayan elders, and it traveled the opposite direction from what I had from the south, from the condor, and I was blessed to bring it up to Alaska and to put on that cane an eagle feather. So my work and my life has been so about the coming together of the north and the south and the south of the north to the north, and what that really means and what those prophecies mean for today. I think it's a very appropriate, you know, entrance into, you know, whatever else we speak of today, because those are such important prophecies.
Hello.
we still got Otter?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I've got this kill button, and sometimes to talk on that, turn it on. I was just asking, take your mind back to before you were on the Red Road or any kind of or childhood. You know, just kind of lead us through the breadcrumbs of your life.
Well, what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about today, but before I do, I wonder if it would be all right if I shared a prayer.
Sure, go ahead.
Given to me, it's a loose translation of a Quechua prayer, and it was given to me when I was in Peru on my travels, and I'll talk to you about it in a minute, but I just always like to set the tone of whatever else I talk about with asking Creator to come in and be with us. So if I may say this prayer, and then I'd like to talk a little bit about the prophecy that guided my work.
Please do.
Thank you. To the winds of the south, great serpent, wrap your coils of light around us. Teach us to shed the past the way you shed your skin, to walk softly upon the earth. Teach us the beauty of your way. To the winds of the west, Mother Sister Jaguar, protect our medicine space. Teach us the way of peace, to live impeccably. Show us the way beyond death. To the winds of the north, Hummingbird, grandmothers and grandfathers, ancient ones, come and warm your hands by our fires. Whisper to us in the wind. We honor you who have come before us and you who will come after us, our children's children. To the winds of the east, great eagle, great condor, come to us from the place of the rising sun. Keep us under your wing. Show us the mountains we only dare to dream of. Teach us to fly wing to wing with the Great Spirit. Mother Earth, we've gathered together for the healing of all your children, the stone people, the plant people, the four-legged, the two-legged, the creepy crawlers, the finned, the furred, and the winged ones, all our relations. Father, Son, Grandmother Moon, to the star nations, Great Spirit, you who are known by a thousand names and you who are the unnameable one, we thank you for bringing us together and allowing us to sing and dance the song of life. Great Spirit, we ask that our words be a healing balm to those who listen. We ask that we offer no offense to anyone and none take offense by anything that we may say or share. And we ask that you be with us as we're on this journey together on this call, so that we may feel your presence in our lives and in our work.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Well, I'd also like to just do a very brief introduction to myself, if I may, and then tell you what it is that I hope to be able to share, if that's all right.
Sure.
I have a very diverse background. My Jewish name on my mother's side is Sarah, and on my Jewish side, I come from people who were Eastern European Jews who were, many of whom were killed in pogroms or died in the Holocaust, and who I believe those ancestors and those relations are with me through their strength and through their desire to survive and to live and to go on through great difficulty. I was adopted by the family of Jim Walton, whose Tlingit name is Kla'a. He was a Tlingit elder who was born in Sitka, Alaska in 1923. And he's from the Kaguantan Wolf clan, and he set me, and I also need to honor Jim's ancestry and history. He was the son of Rudolph Walton, who was a Kiksati elder, and married Charles Davis, who was Kaguantan. And Jim was the leader of the Kaguantan Wolf House Eagle Moiety of Sitka. And as a child, he received traditional Tlingit training and became an expert in oratory and protocol. And as a young man, like many of his generation, he struggled to find balance between his traditional Tlingit teachings and living in the modern world. And like many others at the time, he struggled with alcohol for a period of life when he served in the Army during the Second World War. And he later worked as a fisherman and a carpenter. But Jim's life began to change in the 1950s when he was introduced to spiritual teachings about the unity of all people. And at that time, he also read the book Black Elk Speaks. And he was so taken by the teachings of unity of all people and by Black Elk's vision, as it was relayed in the book, that he traveled to the Sacred Hills in South Dakota himself to find the family of Black Elk and determine if the book that had been written had accurately portrayed Black Elk's vision. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to meet Myron Puyer, who's a descendant of Black Elk. And he confirmed to me in an email that his grandmother, Olivia Black Elk Puyer, had relayed to her that her brother, Henry Black Elk, the grandson of Black Elk, had indeed met with Jim Walton to consult about and confirm that what was written in that book was indeed Black Elk's vision. And from that time on, Jim would often talk about how that meeting changed his life. And he dedicated his life to bringing about a rebirth of traditional indigenous teachings in order to affect the health of his people and in order to bring Black Elk's vision into reality. In the early 1980s, he established the International Cross-Cultural Alcohol Program to create a cross-cultural approach to alcohol recovery. And he traveled across the United States talking to elders and spiritual leaders for many tribes to learn more about the spiritual prophecies and to gain a better understanding of the meaning behind those teachings. And whenever he spoke with elders, he always sought their permission to begin holding a sacred gathering. But it was in 1988 that he consulted with the Cree First Nations elders on the Pascua Reserve in Saskatchewan in Canada. And some of those elders included the family of James Iron Eagle and his son, Harvey Iron Eagle. And he spoke with them regarding the many prophecies of the indigenous people and the time of their fulfillment. And it was Harvey's grandfather was Chief Strong Eagle, but it was Grandmother Iron Eagle who was the first one to recognize that the time had come. And so they gave permission, the medicine people gave permission for when after they gathered together to consult. Grandmother Iron Eagle and the other Pascua elders consulted on the reserve, and they were filled with a sense of urgency that there wasn't much time remaining and that they had to begin establishing these gatherings now. And that understanding must be given to all mankind, and as many as possible must be included. And the elders said that things must be done in a good way so that the prophecies could be fulfilled as they had been revealed. So Jim started the Spiritual Unity of Tribes gathering, and I was blessed last year to be one of the organizers of the Spiritual Unity of Tribes gathering that was held in South Dakota in the Black Hills. But Jim also relayed to me at one of the earlier gatherings that I attended as a young woman when my own children were very little. He spoke, and the elders there spoke about a teaching that has become the animating principle in my own life. And many of you I know have heard this teaching and know about this teaching and have it in your own teachings. But the teaching is basically that there won't be peace on earth until the voices of the grandmothers are heard. And I'm going to say it again. There won't be peace on earth until the voices of the grandmothers are heard.
Uh-huh.
And I was and I was fascinated by what was the meaning of that teaching. What did that really mean? I attended a gathering where the men were talking about honoring the grandmothers. And as a young woman, I remember being very upset because the men were around the sacred fire and they were talking about this teaching. But the women and the grandmothers, most of them were all in the tent, in the kitchen, preparing the food. And at first I was quite upset and offended by this. And then I started hanging out with the grandmothers. And I was so impressed by their love and their joking and their sharing of stories and how they did what they did in such a wonderful, loving way that it stayed with me for all my life. It was like a healing balm on my soul at the time. And when Jim passed away, I prayed and prayed, and I wanted to know what could I do to honor all that he had done for me in my life, and how the gatherings of spiritual unity gatherings had influenced me and affected me and everything that I had learned. And it came back to me in a dream about this teachings about the grandmothers, and I knew that I needed to learn more. So for the last 12 years, I've traveled from the farthest north place in Siberia, where Jim had gone to live, and in Chirsky in the Sakha Republic in Siberia, among the Ivank, Ivan, Yukagir, Chukchi, and Saha people, all the way down to Patagonia in the south. And I interviewed grandmothers, as was said in my reading that was given. I wanted to know more about their wisdom. I wanted to know more of what the grandmothers had to teach us, and what was the meaning behind this teaching. Was it true? What was it? What did the grandmothers have to offer for peace? And so I interviewed grandmothers of all races, of all tribes, of all economic backgrounds, from Siberia through Alaska, down through the north-south, across the United States. I wanted to travel the Good Red Road. And at first I traveled with two women from Siberia, and then and many different women and have traveled with me along the road and helped me. And through the work, I was able to meet many, many wonderful elders and wonderful grandmothers who shared their wisdom. And I produced a book and a documentary called The Wisdom of the Grandmothers out of these travels. But what's really important for today that I'm so blessed to share is that I have absolutely no doubt at all in my mind or my soul or my spirit that it is so important that at this time, if we are going to have peace and if we are going to find our way as the world, we have to come back in balance between the masculine and the feminine energy. And we have to have our grandmothers again come out of being invisible and once again be invited and able to speak so that they can share their wisdom and that they can share with us what it is that we need in this time. And I don't want to be so egotistical or bold as to think that I know what these grandmothers have to say, but I will share a little bit of what I've learned. And I since became a physical grandmother myself during this time. And what I've learned from the grandmothers is that the reason this teaching is so important is because as women, and especially as older women, we understand the importance of having unity and having peace. We understand that when we're in a circle, we're all equal. And we understand that in our communities, we need everyone to be in peace in themselves if they're going to be at peace with one another. And we're connected to our mother. We're connected to our Mother Earth. And we know that our Mother Earth is calling us at this time and asking us to come back in balance between the masculine and the feminine within ourselves, and that we must go away from these teachings that have destroyed the world, the Mother Earth, these things like materialism and individuality and that the fire burning too hot, which has destroyed our earth through bombs, and we must come back into balance with the waters of our earth, which are the divine feminine, and we must honor those waters, and we must honor the flowing of our women, so that we can truly understand what it means to come back into peace. So with that, I'll stop and ask if you have any questions or anything else that you'd like me to share about this prophecy and how it relates to that.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for putting the effort, because he probably traveled as extensively as Mad Bear Anderson did, only he did it as a Merchant Mariner, so he probably did more work than you did. Well, you know, I wouldn't judge, but hey, you've done a great work there, and you to be commended. We really appreciate it, and there's been some good documentaries done. Like, did you see? Not to get off on the weeds, but did you see the? Two-part special Rise that was on Viceland a few months ago. It was a documentary about the DAPL. I don't know whether you saw that or not. It was on cable. And it was really well done, and as was yours. Don't really have any questions. Go ahead.
I heard about that documentary, but I have not yet seen it, and I really want to. I think that what what I learned from the grandmothers about the peacemaker teachings, and is something that I'm sitting now in a circle of grandmothers. I understand you're going to have Grandmother Short Charno on your show at some time in the future, and I hope you'll ask her about the peacemaker teachings, because she's been a wonderful expert and so knowledgeable about them. But I realized when I traveled from the north to the south and the south to the north, and when we held our first gathering in the Black Hills last summer, bringing together almost 300 grandmothers and people from around the world, in honoring of Black Elk Vision, we also realized that, you know, it is this time that we're living in is such a sacred time. And while there's so much going on that's distressing to people and upsetting to people when they look around at the world, it's really important to remember that these prophecies of the coming together of the North and the South, the Eagle and the Condor, and Black Elk's prophecies about the coming together, you know, of all peoples within a hoop of many hoop around the sacred tree, these are happening. We are living in those times. And we are living in a time when, right now at this point in time, the light and the darkness are both rising at equal rates. But the elders tell us that there will be a time very, very soon when the light will overtake the darkness. And our challenge right now, the grandmothers have told me and the elders have told me, our challenge right now is to decide how we want to live our individual lives. Do we want to live our lives connected to the light? Do we want to have faith and know that these prophecies are coming about and will continue to come about, and that we have this blessed role to play in helping to make that happen by remembering who we were and who we are, and by honoring each other, and by seeing the sacred in each and every one of us. And I think that's one of the gifts that, you know, the grandmothers share, because when you live your life over a period of time and you go through great difficulties and you see what's happened before, you have a little bit of perspective that maybe some of the younger ones don't have. And you're able to say with certainty that, yes, we will get through these dark times. We have gotten through these difficulties, and we will get through them, and we will reach this time that has been prophesied of peace. Because, and you do begin to see the sacred in all things, even when it's difficult and you don't necessarily see the beauty of the springtime in the winter, but you know that the springtime is coming. So when I speak to young people now, or when I do whatever it is that I'm blessed to do, I try to remind people to have hope and then not give up, and to know that, you know, the grandmothers and the elders are praying for us, and the ancestors are praying for us, so that we will make the right choices in these times for our own life and do what's in the best and highest good of all concerned. Even when it looks dark, or even when it looks like we're losing, we're not. The darkness is only the absence of light. It has no power in and of itself.
Well, can I share with you what might be a really juicy mystery?
Absolutely.
This might just blow, especially you coming from the background. Let me take you for a little walk down, maybe toward the Torah. You may be familiar with the story of King David and his bodyguard. I think he had two or three regiment of bodyguard. You know, the ones they call the men of great renown.
Uh-huh.
Well, they were known as the Gibberim, and from what I understand, gibberish. The word gibberish comes from these people who spoke differently. And it's a rumor that they had a double row of teeth. Well, you'll never guess what the meaning of Dagawida, as put forth in the book, is the gold standard on the Great Law. It was back in the 30s, 1936, as I recall. Don't recall the author's name. But in it, he said that the God would have meant double row of teeth, and the Canadian Parliament, in its history of in North America, record that fact on its government website. So it's more or less official. The Ghana we'd have met double row of teeth, but I don't know anybody. Here's where my ego is. I don't know anybody that's drawn the connection between the two of them, because I like to draw a connection between the old world and the new, and people coming and going and sharing their traditional spiritual concepts. I think there's been a lot of it. And, I thought you might find that interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I think that we're all connected. You know, Chief Phil Lane always says, you know, we're all indigenous people. I mean, to somewhere, you know, we're all connected, and
yeah.
we all have our stories, and we all have our teachings, and we all have our prophecies. We've just forgotten. And, you know, some of the elders that I've been blessed to interview and spend some time with have said, we need to stop and we need to remember. We just need to remember. And when we go back in our own lives and we begin to remember, and we remember,
you know, our ancestors, and we remember what's in us, as you said earlier, in our DNA, we know that we were all we're all connected, and that we are all one, and that, you know, it's the coming, it's in coming together, and in each of us sharing our little piece from the north, from the south, from the east and the west, when all these directions come together, and we all share our gifts with each other. These are part of that prophecy, that we will, you know, when we are able to do this with respect and with love, then, you know, we will have fulfilled our mission of going off in different, in the stories talk about going off away from the center into these different directions, but that we will come back. And this is that time. So we, you know, yeah. I thank you for that, because we honor all the stories and all the suffering and all of what has gone into bringing us to this time that we're living in history right now, so that we could see it. That there is only one earth, and that it is, the earth is our mother, and that if we are going to survive collectively, we have to survive together as one earth and one people.
Yeah. That's the rub. Some people have an idea about international boundaries, you know, or just, but there's, it's wild. And, you know, it was absolutely, you know, after studying the Torah for a while, I'm not a big, you know, I looked into it, okay? I looked into it far enough to get pissed off about the lies been taught that my family had been taught for 1,600 years. And I do know that my decision to change my attitude in that direction. And I'm not pointing the finger at all Christians. I'm just saying, hey, you know, I'm the same thing that the rabbis say. Christians meddle with everything. So there's a gulf, and you know, and you still see it, particularly when your pocketbook's involved. That's when people start getting nasty. I went through the comments on the different news articles that were posted over the summer, and people pro and con the pipeline, and it was pretty apparent that things were far worse than I had imagined that they could be, and it's bad, but we still have people that are racist against Indians, you know, especially when the Indians pose threat to their job or you know, getting back to life with, you know, and forgetting about Indians. And but as we're wont to do, we like to, you know, we stir things up sometimes and get attention. And it seems like, you know, we've well, let's see, there was one years and years ago, there was I think it was a Passamaquoddy elder, one of those that were real close tight there in the Boston area, Plymouth. He said Indians become the conscience of the white man. And I'm pretty comfortable with that, because they, well, you know, people need one. If, well, they got one, because we're not taught history very well.
Right. And I think that, you know, when I travel across the world, and I had an opportunity to meet a wonderful elder down in Patagonia, and she talked about how, you know, all of the indigenous peoples of the world have a connection to our Mother Earth, and that, as happened in the United States and, you know, happened in Central and South America as well, that people tried to stamp out these teachings, and they tried to bury them, and they tried to outlaw them and make them illegal, and, you know, all the things that people have done over history. But they never were able to do that successfully, because we're still here, and we still have our teachings, and we still have a way of life that, you know, that in many, many places is intact. And so what we bring, you know, what the importance of remembering, and the importance of the stories, and the importance
of listening to the grandmothers and to bringing us back in balance with one another is that we have the ability to have our eyes open at this time and be able to help lead people back to what's important. And what's important, as all of the women I asked them, you know, as you're reaching the end of life, you know, and you've lived your life, what is it that's important? What is it that you want to pass on to the next generation? And across the board, so many of the grandmothers said, you know, when you reach the end of your life, as you travel this road on this earth, and you come to the end of it, you realize that it's the spiritual teachings, it's the spiritual things that are the things that you take with you. It's those qualities, those of love and of compassion and of justice and of those are the things you develop that you take with you when you cross over the Rainbow Bridge. And all the rest of the things that the Western world and that the world puts so much stock in, you know, the material things that you acquire or the titles or the things after your name or any of those things, none of those matter. What matters is the love that you have in your life, and what matters is the relationships that you've been able to develop with other people. And that was shared with me across the board, from the north to the south and the south back to the north again. It's, you know, those spiritual qualities, those virtues that we are able to develop while we are on this plane of existence are the arms and the legs that we need when we cross over that rainbow bridge into the next world, and we become the ancestors. And those are the things that we need to develop while we're here. And part of that, you know, patience and hope and love, you know, we can look at what the news media in general tells us is happening in the world, and we know that that's not true because it's only painting a very small picture. You know, you talked about the Talmud, and the one quote that I had pasted on my mirror and I wrote in many different places over the years that comes from the Talmud that's always stayed with me is that you see the world not as it is, but as you are. And what does that mean? It means that, you know, you can only see what is based on who you are and what you are. So how, you know, could someone who hasn't tried to walk the spiritual path or walk the good red road, how can they see what they can't see? They can't. So how blessed we are and how grateful I am for you to invite me on this program so that I have a chance to talk a little bit about what it is that I've learned from the grandmothers and what it is that they want to come in the world and how important it is that we go to our grandmothers and we ask important to them and we listen to their stories and we learn from them so that we too can learn how to be at peace and how to be in peace in this world. So I'm so grateful to you.
Well, tell folks how to get a hold of you, how to find you on the internet and so forth.
Well, there's two. Real quickly, I just want to mention two things. You can get a hold of me on a website called thewisdomofthegrandmothers.com. It has to have the in it because someone else has wisdom of the grandmother. So it's www.thewisdomofthegrandmothers.com. And also www.womensvoicesproject.com. But I also wanted to talk 2 seconds about the spiritual unity of tribes gathering.
Sure.
In April, there is a spiritual unity of tribes gathering in Australia. And all of the everyone is invited to come. It starts on April 3rd. And that gathering is going to be held outside of Melbourne. It is on Aboriginal land, and I was told by the grandmothers who are organizing that gathering that when they went to ask permission to host the gathering on the land there, the elders of that tribe told them that
they went in to meet in council, and when they came out, they said, yes, this was prophesied. So I got chills down my spine because I thought, oh, this is so exciting. And so that gathering in April in Australia, you can go to S as in spiritual, U as in unity, T as in tribe, and then a dash, not a backslash, but SUT-gatheringofeagles.org. And there'll be a link to the Spiritual Unity of Tribes gathering in Australia. And you can learn more about the gathering that they're holding. And if you feel moved when you hear about it, to come to that gathering and figure out how Creator wants you to be there, I hope that I'll get a chance to meet you at that gathering. I still have no idea how I'm getting there, but I never knew how I was getting anywhere that I went to on my journey. And Creator always provides. So thank you for asking that.
Hey, you bet. So you without personal script. Wow. Oh, okay. Well, we know which hand of the Father you're going to be on in the world to come.
Well, we only can. We don't know. But if we're going to keep trying and figure out,
you're exotic.
My prayer for all of us is that we'll get there together and we'll all of us remember who we are. So thank you again for this time, for your sacred time and listening.
You bet. Appreciate you. And and folks, if you're listening, it costs $4 a month to keep this broadcast on. Believe it or not, we have problems raising that. So anybody with an earshot is welcome to help out with an offering at whiterootsofpeace.com. And we'll let Susan go. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you again. Many blessings to you all.
You bet. And good night, everybody.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Friends, this is Will Blue Otter, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Oklahoma Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away's a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, mountains high.